was thinking a second ago here that FMU listeners are pretty awesome. No overstatement there. It can only be understated. This idea of people listening intently, you know, kind of forming community, supporting all this crazy stuff. How about it? So give yourself a round of applause. Yeah. And I do. I want to applaud every time I play a piece. It just seems like it deserves that. And how fun. How fun to be with you this afternoon. Thanks to all who wrote in. And again, yeah, it's not last call for the postcard. If you ever hear this archive, feel free. Write me. I'll send something out to you. Write me an email, bethany@wfmu.org. Let me know where to send that. And we'll be on our merry way today. Thanks so much once again. And again, yeah, Fabio. Fabio will be back next week, and we are continuing on with Hardy White. It is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Take care, y'all.
With Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. You got me. I'm Hardy White. Oh, it's lovely to meet you too. Join me now as we explore all sorts of ideas together. Well, this intro is going on long, isn't it? They're all going to start. It's a Christmas song. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on, yo?
I'm sick and tired of 5-0 running up on the block.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, Snow, they came around looking for you the other day.
Word, bust it.
Informer?
Yeah, no, say daddy, me Snow, me I go blame. I lick he boom boom down.
Detective man, I say daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane.
I licky boom boom down.
Informer,
yeah, no.
Say daddy, me Snow, me I go blame.
I licky boom boom down. Detective man, I say daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane.
I licky boom boom down.
Police, them, they come and they blow down me door.
Break a car, true my window.
So they put me in de back de car at de station. From that point on, me reach my destination where the destination reaching out east detention. Where they look down me pants, look up me bottom.
So, informer,
yeah, no. Say, daddy, me Snow, me I go blame.
I lick he boom boom down.
Detective man, I say, daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane.
I lick he boom boom down.
Informer, yeah, no. Say, daddy, me Snow, me I go blame. I lick he boom boom down.
Detective man, I say, daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane. I lick he
boom boom down.
So, bigger dem are, they think dem have more power.
De pawn, de phone, me say dat 1 hour.
Me for want to use once and now me call me lover.
Lover who me calling, and a one to my A.
And me love her in my heart, down to my belly A.
Yes, say daddy me Snow, me half it cool and deadly.
Yes,
the one MC Shan, and the one Daddy Snow. Together, we love 'em is a tornado. Informer? Yeah, no. Say, Daddy, me Snow, me, I go blame. I lick he boom boom down. Detective man, I say, Daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane. I lick he boom boom down. Informer? Yeah, no. Say, Daddy, me Snow, me, I go blame. I lick a boom boom down. Detective man, I say, Daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane. I lick he boom boom down. So listen for me. You better listen for me now. Listen for me. You better listen for me now. When a me rock on the microphone, me rock on steady. Yes. A Daddy me Snow me are the article Don. But the in and out a dance and they say, where you come from? People them say, you come from Jamaica? But me born and raised in the ghetto that I want you to know of. Pure black people, man, say that's all I man know. Yeah, me shoes are a tear up and a me toes just to show up. Were me a born in RD1, Toronto. So, informer, yeah, no, say Daddy me Snow. Me, I go blame. I licky boom boom down. Detective man, I say, Daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, yeah, no, say, Daddy, me Snow, me, I go blame. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective man, I say, Daddy, me Snow, me stab someone down the lane. I lick it, boom, boom, down. Come with a nice young lady. Intelligent, yes. She gentle and irie. Everywhere me go, me never left her all at all. Yes, Daddy Snow, me are the Rome dance man. Rome between a dancing in a nation. You never know, say Daddy me Snow, me are the boom shakata. Me never lay a down flat in a one cardboard box. Yes, Daddy me Snow, me'll go reaching out the top, so. Why woe we? And woe we and woe we. He's sitting around cool with my dibby dibby girl. Police knock my door, look at my pal, rough me up, and I can't do a thing. Pick up my line when my telephone rings, take me to the station, black up my hands. Trail me down, because I'm hanging with the snowman. What am I going to do? I'm backed and I'm trapped. Slapped me in the face. Took all of my gap. They have no clues and they want to get warmer. But Shan won't turn informer. Informer. Yeah, no, say Daddy me, Snow me, I go blame. I lick the boom boom down. Detective man, I say Daddy me, Snow me, stab someone down the lane. I lick he boom boom down. Informer, yay, no, say Daddy me, Snow me, I go blame. I lick the boom boom down. Detective man, I say Daddy me, Snow me, stab someone down the lane. I lick he boom boom down. Diggity dum, diggity diggity dum. And woe, and woe, and woe.
Let me guess. You figured because of the big snowstorm, you'd do a dramatic reading of a poem, and then you searched for snow.
Correct.
You don't understand a word you're reading, do you?
No. But I'm not sure that you have to be dramatic.
All right, well, that was a major fail. You don't know the first thing about reading a poem dramatically. Listen to this recording of Casey at the Bat from back in the day being read by some overactor from the silence.
Fraud! Cried the maddening thousands, an echo as abroad. But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go, and now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow.
Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, somewhere hearts are light, and somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout, but there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
I'm doing tonight's show entirely in verse, which sounds impossible, commercial, but I'm using the Beastie Boys rhyming rules, so it's not that hard, commercial. I'm starting off by pointing out that poetry doesn't have to rhyme. And so this next line I speak will be jarring, because it doesn't have to. But you see what I've done there. You've had an expectation that's been shattered. And what's a lovelier experience than having something shattered? No, we don't want that, unless we're encased in some sort of ice prison. So please shatter this suit of armor that has been put on me by my foes, and it's made of ice or glass or something like that. I've been watching some science fiction movies, and a lot of times things will shatter, and at the other side of the glass thing will be a monster. And the only thing that's been keeping that monster from being unleashed is a thin glass case. And why is that? That's because monsters don't understand what shatter means. Now, I don't know. I really don't know. But I think it probably stands for something in our souls. You know, we're all really haunted by the same things, aren't we? That's what all the old spooky movies say. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of animated corpses whose top of their head looks like a tree stump. Because I think that goes way back. So a tree stump man with the flat head, that's Frankenstein. Or they have, that fella with the long canines. No, don't make fun. I just think that's from a part of Europe that we're not familiar with. They all have long canines. That's where that comes from, I think, too. It's like vampires and everything. But when you look back, you go, they just look like they're from that part of Europe or something, I think. I think that's so unfair. And maybe did people suck blood back then? I don't know what they had for food, you know? I mean, my ancestors were sucking potatoes, and nobody's, like, demonizing that, and that's gross. So I thought they were swallowing them, too, but I wonder if they didn't have to suck on them first, because I don't know if they were cooking them. I've lost the chain. The unbroken chain has been broken between myself and my ancestors, and some things have been passed down. Like, I don't know if this came from the culture or my personal family history, but, like, first, cleaning your butt after you use the bathroom or something. That might just be societal, but I've never really seen it demonstrated, and they don't teach you that in school, or maybe they do. But you can take it in some colleges as a fun, it's on the graduate level, butt wiping. It's supposed to be a gag, but really it's something more profound, or I don't know. I think Kenny G teaches it. And so it's not the kind of butt wiping you think. It's done with poetry. And that's what I'm here to say. Well, you're not qualified to speak about poetry, Hardy. Are you? I don't know. Am I? I don't know. Tell us, what are your bona fides? Well, I said bona fides. I think that's the the t-shirt that explains itself. So I don't think I have to say anymore. You know, oh my goodness. No, I don't purport to be a poet. I think poetry is something that you have to learn how to appreciate a lot of times. Otherwise, people would be buying it like mad and reading it. But it's like, it's something that's more akin to, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something, chitlins, or and it's some sort of the animal. We go, well, this is kind of hard to eat. I go, no, but pay more attention. No, that's silly. I think it's just because poetry is everywhere now, and it's just so part of the popular culture. Songs and everything have these words in them that I don't, a lot of times in the past, the song lyrics weren't necessarily poems. And then they were. Then people started being pretentious. And I don't know what caused that, whether it was cocaine or, but say, oh, my poetry is also a pop song, but there's poetry in it. So that's why a lot of times in the mid-century say, let's get someone who's a good actor, like William Shatner, who I don't think anybody would argue is not an actor, and have him read something dramatically. And I forget, Tambourine Man! It's Tambourine Man or something like that. So now that had a big camp thing. It's like, oh, it's campy because he's a Tambourine Man! Like that. And it's like, ha ha ha. He's trying to do an interpretation of it. But I feel like camp, you know, things like that don't last as long. But his has endured. And we all listen to it in schools and study it. So it wasn't just some kind of joke thing. And I think a lot of us would say, is it better than Mr. Tambourine Man? Which was, again, written by... So, Bob Dylan, I don't understand much. And Dylan Thomas, I don't know if it's related. Dylan Thomas, all the chords have been lost. I was looking at the poems, and there used to be... I mean, where's the... It should say G or E minor over some of these words, and then it's been lost. And a lot of poets of the past, you'll say, where's the guitar tab? It should be over every few words should have a guitar tab, and you know what I mean, the chord diagram like that, either for uke or guitar or something they used to play in this is before my time, like in the folk era, they'd play tenor guitar too, and you'd see a lot of people. Let's be 10 years older. There's such an age gap between me and people 10 years older. They just came from a different era. And I can't relate. I can't relate to anybody who's older than me by more than 4 years because the world, everything changed, I guess. And so I don't know. But I can, younger people, yes, on down to zero. So I'm looking forward to being 100 and then saying, hey, I get y'all, except for those five-year-olds are weird. Something like that. I don't know. I mean, was I reincarnated? I could see that happening. I could see not learning a lesson for thousands of years. That tracks for me. That's so me. That, like, you say, well, you're going to Earth and you must learn a basic lesson. What is it? Just, you know, don't overreact to things. Okay, I can do that. And then you can't. Over like 10,000 lives or something, or you know, or be at peace, or whatever that you're commanded to do, or learn, just learn one thing. Okay. And then I just keep not doing it. I'm not sure why. I get distracted. You know, it starts out with like, you're very young. And they get you worried about things, you know. What's an undescended testicle? It's nothing. But then, you know, and then that's just one example. But it goes on like that, oh my goodness. And it's a lot to figure out. So how, if it is some sort of, in addition to that, that there is something to figure out, that's not going to happen. Because I'm just the playing the game has got me completely distracted. So if, you know, go in there, I want you to just, you know, play football. And then as you're playing, you know, just think about what football means or what. No, you can't do that. You can't do that because someone's, you know, running at you full speed and they're big or whatever. And say, I wonder what, you know, what it was football. Oh, that's the beautiful poet, Andy Griffith.
Tell us about Andy Griffith, Papa.
Really? You don't want to hear about that?
Please tell us an Andy Griffith story, Papa.
Why do young people speak like that?
What do you mean?
You speak like the voice I do when I do the animal, when I make my animals talk. Animals. I only have one left. They keep dying. What am I doing wrong? I mean, it takes like 20 years, but I guess it's old age. Everything has a different lifespan. Do animals just get to their spiritual goal quicker or something?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
What? What? Let me know. Every dog is like,
I wish I could tell you.
That's what they're...
I'm trying to tell you with my soft eyes.
Okay.
Can you get it? I'd love to tell you the meaning of life. I know it.
Okay.
Maybe follow me around, throw me stuff, and I can vibe it to you.
Okay, thank you, dog. And I think that's what happens a lot, at least with my dog. That was my dog who died, spoke like that. Oh, it sounds like your friend Lou. Well, you got to base your imaginary world sometimes on real things. And, you know, like people, writers do that. Say, Charles Dickens had real friends like that. He had a little friend. A little crippled child friend who had come over. And
can I hang out here?
Go, yeah, Tiny Tim. And
watch this.
Don't touch anything then, though. I'm writing a book.
What you gonna write?
I'm gonna write about Christmas.
I like Christmas.
Okay, Tiny Tim, we just sit over there. And I'm going to, Tiny Tim, that voice. Now, if I had a little tiny terrier, that'd be it.
I'm a tiny terrier who lives with Hardy.
That would be the voice right there, I think. I do this all day now. I think things are winding down or something. Oh, bless you. Oh, my goodness. My brain, does it work the way it did when you got it? No. No, it doesn't. It's almost identical to any computer I've ever bought. It's like out of the box, you go, this is amazing. This is amazing. This thing has like so much storage and computing power. And then after a while, you're like, I don't know whether it got dirt in it, or I don't know whether am I shutting it down wrong, or I don't know. But I think my disk is fragged. So, oh, they can't get fragged anymore. Yeah, but I have one of the old ones, and I just don't know. Something isn't doing it right. So you go you slipped a disc or something. Now I'm getting them all confused on my, oh, this can't be a body that was meant to last. You know, there's such a planned obsolescence in biology. And no one teaches you that. You know, you're, hey, nice temporary vessel. They all act like you're some Greek god statue or something that's going to stay that way. Hey, nice body. We should have a body contest. Every body contest you enter, you should have to enter it like 50 years before it happens. So let's see you at 90. And then we'll have your little body contest. See how, you know, all that pec muscle. What was that for? I can't tell you how. I'm trying to think. I can push myself up off the floor. Now, in addition to that, I have never had to push like 300 pounds away from my chest for any reason. Unless I was, I'm trying to think. I guess that one time I ordered this 300-pound hamburger at a restaurant. And I took a few bites and I was like, and I got it down to like maybe 297. And I was like, I can't eat any more. But then I had to push the whole plate away from me at the table. And I didn't have the strength because I hadn't been benching. I guess I should have benched. And I didn't bench. And I think in the future, I just got a word of knowledge. They're going to be a surname bench or bench press. Isn't that interesting? I wonder. Because now we're currently going on all the old surnames. Still people named Cooper. The hell's a Cooper, right? You don't even know what they do anymore. So he's named after his profession. We all are, right?
What are you? Professional white. That was a thing. That's why they're so mad. It's not a thing anymore. So, but let's see. They had Cooper, Baker. What was that? Bootyfresh was one, a surname. I don't know what that was about. But stuff like that. And, well, now we have different professions, right? So people are going to have different surnames, or maybe do away with them all together and just have user, call them usernames. And that, I remember that expression back in the 70s when my drug dealer was trying to automate. And he said, you know, it's so much easier when you call me or page me just to use your username. And he's like, oh, that makes sense, because we don't want to get caught. So that's where that came from. Oh, are we users? Oh my goodness, I will embrace you. I'm gonna make things up. Since there's right now, there's no one knows what's going on, or there's no story, or there's the meaning of life is up for debate. I'm just gonna pull something out of my box of ideas. Which is, my box of ideas is something that I usually poop out of. But right now I'm gonna use it to generate some thoughts and ideas. No, I'm gonna make up a reason. And because I think I could do it better than a real one that's bad or that's miserable. So if you want a reason for your life, now Richard Feynman said, get a hobby or something like that, or find something you like to do and just do it a lot. But, you know, I know what some people like to do, and you don't do it a lot. Do it a little bit. You could do it sometimes, but then don't do it a lot, you know. So I don't know. Maybe he's talking about stamp collecting or physics. And I guess that you could throw yourself into. If you want to, I don't know how much you want to philatel. But you could do that, or you could be a numismatic addict or something. That's a coin collector. All sorts of things, ways to focus your energy. I have one of those sort of dispositions where I acquire and abandon hobbies with astounding frequency, and have lined up. There's a whole. All these little, I have a little graveyard in the backyard with all my hobbies. No, that's some of them I keep through life. I take big breaks. I take decades-long gaps in some of my hobbies. I'm painting. I like to paint. I love to paint. I'm a big art fan. And my art life is a tragedy, you know, because it's something I like better than I'm able to do. I know a lot of musicians like that. Bless your hearts. I love music. Yeah, it's not enough. But keep doing it. You keep doing it. But what they don't tell you is private at some point. You know, some people want to see it, some people don't. So that's what I'm doing. But I love to paint, but I can't do it all the time. Or I love to make things, you know. And but then because I'm just making up a reason to do it, I can't sustain it all the time. Because I'll say, you know, you should paint something. And I paint it, and they go, why did I do that? I don't know. And then I have a breakdown. So that's the problem. I can't. So I got to move on to something else like that. But, oh, one of the things I have stuck with, lifestyle things are easier for me to maintain. So, for instance, you should maybe get into things, just your routine. Like, really get into... To cooking is the obvious one, because you got to eat. So get into cooking or preparing food. You don't have to cook it. You can just arrange it. If you like, say, oh, I just mainly eat raw peas. Yeah, but there's so many. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how many ways to arrange them and just kind of be in the moment and to enjoy yourself through some kind of aesthetic activity? Maybe take the peas and stack them. Or, you know, you could construct things with the pea and toothpicks. And you could make all sorts of molecules. How about that? Say, I'm going to eat a pea, but today my pea is shaped like an aldehyde. Or some sort of thing. The peas are carbon or oxygen or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. There's so many ways to entertain yourself and just find something.
But that seems like, what's the point?
Some things don't have a... I don't know what this obsession with a point is. The point is good for small scale. You know, small scale things. Like the show, my show should have a point.
Well, it doesn't.
It does. It's just not a very sharp one. But it does have a point. I always have a point. But some things don't, can't. You know, they're just too big to have a point. You know, let's continue the metaphor. Would you rather be stabbed by a regular size pencil or a pencil that's 1,000 times bigger?
Well, how hard?
I know. Well, I'm just saying, I don't think the point would be as sharp. You know, it would just be like, you're not going to get hit in the face with the giant pencil. I'm just saying, I don't think it'll go into you.
All right. I don't know, though.
I don't know either. I mean, I've never made, how is the point, like, does it stay, like, infinitely sharp? This seems like a philosopher question. I do have philosophers that listen to the show so that they have something to disagree with and shut off. But I've never really heard from anybody. I have one. I did recently. I did a live show, and a person came up and said, I have studied philosophy. And I said, well, what'd you think? And they go, well, you're wrong about everything. And I said, well, thank you. And I bet you can tell me why. No, they didn't say that. That was not the interaction. I'm lying to get a laugh. Oh, my goodness. And is it... I don't even know. Was it self-deprecating? I think it was, but I didn't take it personally because I knew I was lying. So I don't have to put myself down. And do other people do it? No. Surprisingly, I mean, I guess I'm not saying anything. It was one of the reasons people have a hard time disagreeing with me because I'm slippery. I'm a greased pig. And you say, I think I disagree with you. Yeah, I don't know. Do you? I don't know what I said. And people say that to me. Remember that show where you said, no, I don't. Honestly, I don't. And I'm probably repeating myself. And I would believe you if you said, Hardy, you've been doing the same show for like 15 years. It's identical.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you get on, you say the same. Oh, that's so embarrassing. But, you know, also, I don't blame myself because, like, there's somebody that could... I have a boss. They could pull the plug on it, you know? And that's not how they do it. There's no plugs involved. That's how you know you're off the air. It's just like, but you're listening to your show, and they're... But it sounds like they pulled something out of the wall.
Yeah, except it's an RCA jack.
Do you know that people under a certain age don't know what an RCA jack is? So you could use it as a... like an MC name or something. That's so wonderful to dig into the past like that. We used to do that, though, I remember. I had a band called Casey at the Bat. No, I didn't. What a dumb name. That's dumb. Nobody would have come. I remember I had a high school band, and one of the guitar player's dad suggested the name... Five fingers and a palm. So I don't know what that meant, but I've thought about it. He was a lovely man too, and so I didn't laugh at him. Nobody mocked him. They just went, "Oh, wow, yeah, interesting." But so I don't know. I've thought that for a long time. I've always thought like Four Fingers and a Thumb was probably a good band name, but this was Five Fingers and a Palm. I don't know whether that was a tropical reference. I don't know whether you do some kind of tropical music. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could sing convincingly in the style of a culture different than my own and then surprise them like that. You know how these people online that go to say, I'm going to go to a Chinese restaurant and speak Chinese to them because they'll think nobody speaks Chinese, even though like a billion people. But anyway, so then they do this. They'll go, well, sometimes it's more obscure than that. Or there's a fellow that just goes, I can speak your language. And then you say, I'm from this country. And he goes, hello, shrimp, blue, or something like that. And you go, well, I don't know if that's speaking it, but
You do know a few words. That's amazing. That's neat. And, but I kind of wish I could. I've been trying to. I can. Kino. Ringo o. Tabemashita. I think I said yesterday I ate an apple, which is a lie. So I can lie in Japanese, just that one lie. I'm going to work on it, though. I bet I'm going back to Japan. And this time I'm going back, and I'm going to be able to say more than I could last time. And I've been dependent on Japanese friends to speak for me. But this time, I'm going to try to say more. I was just mostly trying to not offend. Was my big goal. I'm going to try not to be offensive. But I think I over-perfumed. So I think that was like, without opening my mouth, I think I ruined U.S.-Japan relations. So I'm not sure, but we'll see. And again, I don't blame myself. I blame Tom Ford for that one. So I'm trying to learn, oh my goodness. But what would be wonderful is if I wish I could sing traditional Japanese songs like from the 30s or something, like the apple. That's a good one. Do you know that song? That's a Ringo. There's an apple song from like the 30s. It was really big, or maybe it was big during the war. I'm gonna look into this for you, and you're looking it up right now. And a bunch of music enthusiasts I'm speaking to, I forget what I'm on the radio at WFMU. Got to be careful what you say about music. People can check on it. You know, I got one of the Beatles' name wrong the other day. And boy, I heard from people because it's not Bingo. I go, I don't know, you know, but they'll say like, oh, it's this or that. Here's something I got to tell you. I don't know. Rarely do I like update you on my life or stuff that's going on in real time because I want to confuse future listeners about when the show is happening. And so I'll say things like, you know, today, you know, President Eisenhower said, or something like that. But now I'm pinpointed in time a bit. I did a video, like a funny video explaining the bass guitar. Because you know I love to play the bass. I'm not great at it, but I've been playing it since I was 12. And I just, you should be way better at it. Be quiet. Not every day. I started when I was 12, right? I started trying to be a decent human being at 12, and I haven't mastered that either. There's lots you can do it for a long time. That's often what people say. Like, people brag. If you want to brag about your prowess on an instrument, you lie about how long you've been playing it. You say, I've been playing it 3 months. Oh, my God. But, like, you don't get any credit when you say, I've been playing it, you know, for 50 years, and people go, wow, yikes, right? So that's the way I look at it. I'm going to lie. I just took it up. But anyway, so I made this bass video because there's so many of them, and I thought, well, and I said, what are you good at, Hardy? Lying and embarrassing people. So I thought, I'll do that. I'll mix up my twin skills of embarrassing people and lying and put out this little video and as of right now there's 9,000 views on it. Not on YouTube. They don't allow you to do that. But I've never had that many people see anything I've done. And it's terrifying. I did briefly, there's two times, as you know, a TV thing and a music thing where people outside of our special club, because I love you and I know you and we get together and we have sandwiches, but there's strangers out there, you know, and they can hear me. And so, you know, a couple times I've had more people than just us, and they are pharaohs who do not know Joseph. And they just don't have they're not as gracious as you are, and they're not as forgiving, loving, accepting. I'd say open-minded, but I don't know if that's what's going on. But so you are very much more patient with me. And so it's been scary. But this has been fine. I haven't really looked carefully at the comments. But, you know. The thing is not that, it's not that strangers can hurt you. It's that that strangers can hurt you. So I don't know how to prevent that and remain sort of aware or sensitive. Because a lot of things I do to get by and to become a better person are say things like, you know, is this true? Is this criticism true? You know, you can't just, I don't constantly deflect. If someone said to me, you know, Hardy, your show is hurtful or something, I wouldn't say, you need to toughen up. I would say, oh, no, like in what way? And I would honestly try to do some introspection, you know, or to try to figure out what's going on. So sometimes you're like that. If you're a thoughtful person and you want to do something and someone says something to you like, you know, you're an idiot. Some of the things you know are not true, right? Like, technically, I don't think I'm an idiot. I think that's got a technical meaning. But I don't, you know, first of all, I don't hold public office. And I think that's one of the qualifications for being an idiot. Also, someone who sometimes people who volunteer their opinion without being asked, that's a type of idiocy a lot of times. Say, oh, I don't know you, but here's what I think. Or, oh, I know that you're not selling anything, but here's why people should not pay attention to you. Which is valid. I think that's valid. I really do. So that's why you see my problem. I could talk myself out of doing anything. And I know that this whole, like, oh, I'm just going to put my steamroll ahead. That's no good either. So I thought, well, how can I do both? You know, how can I forge ahead at the same time of like sort of like self-examining, at the same time letting things in, not putting up a shield or blocking out any kind of criticism? You know, just how do you do it, Hardy? And I say to that, how do I do what? So I totally just forgot what we were talking about. And that is pretty much the key to it, is that you barrel forward and sort of like allow yourself to sort of dissipate and to forget who you are and what you're doing. And that's what I try to do, is just go out there and say, Hardy, you know, there are things that have to happen on the radio. I do believe this. And there are diverse things. You know, sometimes you need a song. Sometimes you need to switch on that radio and you've got to hear, you know, and I do believe that everything on the radio that isn't talking should be the association. I believe that strongly. And perhaps someday I will be able to open up Radio Never My Love, which just plays the association's version of Never My Love and my musings. I guess they're musings. I don't know. I want to open a place called the Museum. Like that. There's a bunch of things that I'm doing visually that you can't see. That'll be taken care of on the sign and the multimedia stuff. But it's a museum of just Hardy stuff, and I'm opening it in Jersey City. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness. Would you come to a Hardy museum? Yes, Hardy, I would, especially if it was also a cafe. It would be all cafe, very little museum. That's why I go to museums a lot of times, is the museum store and the cafe. And I feel like the museum is often a colossal waste of time. And I know I'm harsh on the Guggenheim, but I was thinking skateboard ramp, museum store, cafe, right? I think that'd be better. And then all the stuff can go. There's a storeroom. I know there is. The collectionists just put all those paintings, take them down. There's so many museums in New York and everything, and all over the country. And it could just be distributed, and I don't even think Peggy Guggenheim's alive. I think she's long gone. I don't think she'd mind. And, oh, I'm going to hear from Peggy Guggenheim the Ninth or something. It's like, dear so-called Mr. Hardy, so-called white, who has insulted not only me, but the designer of the Guggenheim. Is it Frank Lloyd Wright? I don't know. It might be Frank Lloyd Wright. If it is, you owe myself an apology, as well as all his houses that haven't fallen down. He made one of them falling down, I think. But they seem to need more upkeep. They're not selling as much as they should have because, it turns out. Whose houses have endured, though, I wonder? One of you rugged brutalists. I love it. I love concrete. I love the textured concrete on the inside. I think it's neat and practical. I've got no problem with it. I don't need my inside to look like the outside. It's the inside. It should look like a cave, if anything. That's my architecture opinion. I'm kidding. I don't have opinions. And I certainly don't have opinions on anything I know anything about. The more I learn, the less I want to share any opinion about it. I just get more interested in learning. But what I know little of, I always want to teach and take stands. So, by gosh, you know what I'm into now is coffee. Anybody else like coffee? I'm kidding. I enjoy coffee a lot. Of the people that I know who like coffee or say, boy, I like coffee, I'm a coffee-loving person, I don't care anything about it. That's so weird. Like, so what kind of coffee? I'd go, like, in the cup. And I'm not trying to be one of those, like, just give me a cup of coffee with your silly names. I'm not like that at all. I do like espresso. I know all the names. I think it's cool. I love it. I do love it. And I do know things. I'm not against knowing them. And I love a latte, and I love a cappuccino, and I know the difference between an Americano and a Schmelhalabortes. And so I would say it's just that. It never got on my hobby. It never rose to the level of obsession. Coffee is just this relationship that I've had my whole life that's just been working great. And I'm not too fussy, you know, the way I make it. I just make it pretty, pretty basic. And I don't like disgusting bad coffee that tastes like rope or whatever. But and I don't like the burnt kind. But other than that, you know, I've never not had drank the coffee at like a diner. I go, okay, that's fine. Fine with me. And yet I still have a love for it. I just don't know much about it. And isn't life like that? Isn't our journey a little like my relationship with coffee? Coffee breath, is there there's a moral equivalent. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's up to you. Oh, my friends, I know you're working on a project right now with your friends. Keep doing it. I encourage it. Get together with your neighbors. Make more cinema. I think you should do it. That's a crazy thing. I think of all of the wonderful arts done by crazy obsessive people, the ones who see it through and make a movie are just the best. I love it. I just get it done. You know, because even the best films, I think, are at some level cobbled. Because no matter how much money you have, you spend it all. So if you have millions and millions and millions, you go, I am going to do the most amazing visual effects that cost, you know, tens of thousands of hours and monies. But you see, it's just love, effort. Can be the same when you have $10 in your phone. So I love that idea of more brain sharing, you know, more feeling sharing, more experience sharing, so other people can feel what we feel. And that's what art does when it's best, to say, you never put yourself in the shoes of somebody else. That's so out of fashion, isn't it? Say, why don't you, for 5 minutes, why don't you try to experience what that person's experiencing? You think that's not a valuable thing?
No, then I might not do what I'm told. And I'm all in on doing what I'm told.
Well, that's good for you. So I'm not speaking to those people. But I'm speaking to you if you still consider, if you still think somehow you have some sort of like intellectual autonomy or spiritual autonomy or whatever, I really encourage you to do the old-fashioned put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Imagine what it's like. Become Casey at the bat. Imagine what it's like to be that cocky and then let everybody down. Let that be you, so you don't have to experience it. You experience it through art. I'm going to go learn all the lessons that the dumb people make in Doctor Who by watching Doctor Who. And it might prevent me. And that was the original intent, I think, of stories is, you know, let me tell you something so you don't have to experience it.
Now, you know, stories can be corrupted and you could start to tell people what they want to hear. And so they want to hear lies. You might tell them a lie. You might tell them a story that gives them more importance or power than they would normally have, right? And I don't know about that. I've always been in the camp that believes that the sort of the way to really see in everything is to let all your ego go. You know, because the more I've cared about that stuff, I think the less I've seen. And I'm doing it the easy way, which is just not, I didn't die young. And so now I'm getting to age, and it's happening for me. It's like saying, whoa, this is lovely. I don't have to use as much effort to strip my ego. It's being stripped for me. Because I'm too old to stop it from being, hey, quit stealing my ego coat.
We're taking your coat, old man.
No. But secretly, I don't need it anymore. Oh, take it away. I think when I was younger, everything that was sort of tainted by like future expectations, especially radio or anything I'd say to people. So, oh, maybe somebody's going to discover me. And then he's come right for your television show. My name's Harry White, and here's the reason I'd like to come right for your television show. I could provide many jokes and characters and do voices. Here are some of the many voices that I'm able to do for you and your cartoon show.
Hey, get away.
I have a blue car.
Like that, I can do all those, and you think those are different people. That's just me. I can also write my own jokes, produce humor jokes. Knock, knock. Here's a Scottish joke. Knock, knock. Russwell. I don't know. I thought that's how they say night. I caught that from the Three Stooges. And I don't know if that's how really Scottish. Dylan, you listened last week. Tell me, is that night? I should have looked it up. But when the Three Stooges, who are my lens on the world, showed me how to speak in, because they did one called like Kilts a Poppin' or, you know, Tartan Goofs. I don't know. They didn't try very hard on the titles. They said, you know, it's a broad knock, 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 or something like that. And I thought, knock? I knew that word. Does it mean night over there or something? And so I got that stuck in my head like that. So you let me know. I'm not coming to Scotland anytime soon. I'm not going to be traveling. But it's my heritage. I didn't know that. I looked that up, and it's my heritage, apparently. So I'm going to honor my ancestors. There's some reason we left, and it's lost to time, but I'm not going to undo that. You know, they'll be like, why are you going back? I don't know. I thought, no, keep going. We're trying to get to Japan. So I don't know. Yeah, that's so funny. Maybe they were. I don't know. And no, I hope they made it. I hope my Scottish ancestors are all over there. There is some lore that Jesus snuck out of, I don't know if you read the Barry Sadler books, but so Jesus might have been rescued off the cross and then went to Japan and had a family, and then he's buried there in northern Japan. Very tip. And not Hokkaido, I mean. But I don't know if that's true. But who knows? But you don't want to defy your ancestors, because it says right there in the Bible, honor your mother and your father, even if you don't know who they are. Say, but honor them. So I'm going to request, you know, I'm going to, their wishes was, hey, we're leaving. And I do think it's just keep moving. Just circumnavigate the globe. I don't know why anybody has to settle down. We should all just go, everyone right now, every human, just go on tour. So what about let's redistribute all the wealth by touring. Everybody just travel constantly. And we'll just, I don't know how that's going to work, but I'll figure it out. And that's not a very good philosophy. None of them are. Because you always got to make people who don't believe it do it for it to work. I don't know how that never's going to work out. So, bless you for listening to me. You really are. It really is a blessing. I know that when I allow my attention span to sort of ease into things, then I can do stuff like go to jazz squeakswalk shows or a symphony or anything like that. And I go, wait a minute, you know, I've got, if just relax, and I need to hear out this composer, like Smetana or one of them. I don't know, Arvo Pärt or, you know, Messiaen or one of the, I'm just naming the popular ones. But there's all sorts of classical music, they call it out there. And some of it, there's a wonderful album I got as a kid. So if it's not Baroque, don't fix it. And that was a lovely, kind of all this harpsichord. And I don't know what floats your boat. And I don't know how boats float, really. But I know they do. And I know that music and art can lift you up. And that's why I try to provide, not the real thing, but sort of a joke version. So you say, hey, I go home, you know, like, for instance, you go to like a Spencer Gift and you see the fake dog poo. And maybe it gives you maybe a little more appreciation for the real dog poo. Because this you can pick up, you can handle, doesn't get you messy. So that's what I'm fake dog poo. I could be fake food even. Nothing's going to happen. You're safe with it. It's just a prop. It's something to listen to. It's something to take seriously for no reason. And I love that about us, you know, is that I have, for my duration on this radio station, been taken seriously for no reason. And that makes my heart so full, and it should give you hope. You know, it should really give all of us hope. My enduring on the radio means that people are a lot more forgiving and something than they get credit for. I'm not saying I'm so special, but I see right there, I make a lot of mistakes, and there's no room for that. There doesn't seem to be any room for that, to take chances that are really only a couple people are going to like. I mean, they can't do that. You can't do that on TV. So even when you're taking chances on TV, you know, you still got to be like, well, only a million liked it or something like that, right? Or even on the internet, you know, well, that got less than a million views. And that's considered like a crashing failure. Now, I know that I have done things for five people. Maybe. And there's probably other music shows on this station with the same, but there's just a few people. I want to know this. Why don't they matter? They do matter. and that the whole station here has the philosophy that they matter. This whole numbers thing is fake anyway. Oh, those people don't like those things and those numbers. Millions of people like it or listening. They're not all engaging at the same level or thinking about it. It's just numbers. It's all for the money people. It's not, it doesn't measure how seriously somebody takes it or how meaningful it is or how important it is. I'm going to say this to you because I know you might be out there creating in complete anonymity and without, you feel like nobody is listening to it, but get one person to listen to it. Maybe it's for one person. My gosh, what do you want? You want a million? You want to be able to walk into a restaurant and be recognized? You know? I've met people on the other end of that. You know, I like to become friends with people after they've already gotten that out of their system, to be honest. Right? And then you can really be free, you know, because it's, you don't realize how much all that stuff is in your head. Of making it like polished for consumption. I put out fragments. I work on it a little bit. Yeah, I got like 15 seconds of a song. I'm going to put it out. Because, I mean, why not? You finish it. Well, I'm going to spend a year on it and do it badly. I got a little idea. Here's my idea. That's the way I envision everything. Just constantly sharing and that kind of stuff. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, my friends, for listening and for being with you. This has been Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition, and you are such a blessing to me. And I guess I will see you again next week.
Name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twin's name was Ebony. Her name was